This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you in? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get reward points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus, rewards registration required, points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Stefan Schindler has a chance to write his name in Huddersfield Town legend. And he takes that!
Four nil. More of that, please. It's the warm-up episode 134. It's your host Brady Frost, and I'm joined by BBC Radio Leeds and West Yorkshire Sports Louis Reynolds. Louis, how are you doing?
I'm really good, and more of 4-0, Brady, would be excellent, wouldn't it? Between now and the end of the season.
Yes. I would. Let's hope that, you know, maybe John Wormington's going to win every game 4-0 and get the job.
We'll take it.
You may hear, or you may see if you're watching on YouTube, Tom is not here. He's away on a trip in Amsterdam. I'm told it's for business and not for pleasure, listeners, but he should be back next week for a next preview. So we'll just get into this one, really, because we've got a few things to talk about this game, but also, obviously, Town don't have a time of recording, don't have a manager, John Wormington, still in charge. So we'll touch on that a little bit. But yeah, let's start with the game at St Mary's. So Huddersfield, fresh from that 4-0 win against relegation rival Sheffield Wednesday. They're travelling down to St Mary's, taking Southampton. Saints are a bit of a daunting prospect. Why is that? Well, 21 championship games unbeaten. That's dating back to September, the last time they lost. They've got 5 clean sheets in the last 8 games, 23 games unbeaten in all competitions, and they've got 3 league victories on the spin. And they're second in the table. Louis, with all that in mind, is it a case of this game's a bit of a free hit for Huddersfield?
You would maybe look at it that way, wouldn't you? But I guess given Huddersfield's position in the table, albeit that brilliant win at the weekend over Wednesday, in what was a must-win game, wasn't it? But you look at QPR there picking up a few wins. I don't want to say a free hit because Town still need as many points as possible. You know, Town aren't 13th, 14th in the league with a good gap from the relegation spots and a too big of a gap from the playoff spots where you can kind of just go, oh, free hit, go and express yourself. But it is one of them, you know, we've touched on it before, haven't we? If Huddersfield Town lose at the weekend, which look, let's not beat around the bush given Southampton's current form, the squad they have, their league position, isn't beyond the realms of possibility, to put it politely. Town season isn't going to be defined by a defeat at St Mary's, surely. But I still wouldn't say free hit.
Yeah, fair. I think for me, I said it last week, I think I've not really changed my mind, even though we've won 4-0 at the weekend. I could see whoever's in charge really losing this 3 or 4-0 potentially. And that's not a slight on the manager or Huddersfield. I just think sometimes you've got to look at teams in the league. You know, Leicester's an example. I think, obviously, it'd be fantastic if even Town got a point in this game, but it's all about, really, the performance they put in. And I know it's still a bit tight, you know, at the bottom of the table, but this isn't a game people are expecting much from Town. And look, that can work in their favour. We were chatting before, Louis, like you say, that run's got to end sometime. We always say it when Town are in a good run of form, which isn't often, but that's why we say run has to come to an end. But yeah, I think I normally don't want to be like, take a loss, but I think if, for example, they lost 1-0, they were quite tight defensively and you're putting a good show and, you know, maybe had one or two chances. I just think momentum's really important and it would be good to see a performance. I think that's kind of what I'm taking away from this.
Yeah, I think you're spot on. I think if we're talking at 5 o'clock on Saturday and it's been a drubbing, you know, a 5 or 6-0, that's when you maybe start to worry. I think if Town go there and lose 1-2, maybe even 3-0, but put in a good performance, then it's something to build on. And whether that's a new manager in place this weekend or the following week, I mean, if a new manager was to come in between now and Saturday, you think, wow, that is not really the start they would have hoped for away to Southampton. But look, I think you've got to look at it reasonably as well. I mean, I think this season, the Championship especially, we've seen that gulf of the three teams who have come down from the Premier League who are just blowing teams away pretty much every week, aren't they now? Leicester, Leeds and Southampton. Ipswich have done so well to keep up with them. So as I say, you know, a defeat at Southampton doesn't define the rest of the season for me. You know, you just want to see a performance. And at the end of the day, as I said, we're all realistic. Southampton's squad on paper, probably could challenge mid-table in the Premier League at the moment, couldn't it? So if Town go there and it ends up a 1 or 2-0 defeat, but the performance is there, I think we'll be happy because we can see those building blocks going forward, especially with a potential new manager coming in.
Yeah, and obviously, listeners, it's not too long ago. They have to look back to the last time these two sides played. Obviously, it was 1-1. If we're honest, I can probably say this, being a Town fan, maybe we were lucky to get a point out of that. But, you know, they have shown it. So who knows, really? I think, like you say, it's a bit of a difficult one. I think most teams will lose at St Mary's this season away teams, and there's no shame in that. But I just think sometimes, you know, it's never nice to have a defeat. But like we've kind of said, sometimes you just got to look at the other team and, you know.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, like, yeah, they are.
I guess the one thing we all cling on to as football fans is that optimism and, you know, why can't it be us who ends the unbeaten run? And as we say, like, unbeaten runs have to come to an end. For some reason, I was looking through past Town seasons and I was just looking at like the records and stuff. And I got onto the promotion season under David Wagner and I was reminded of Town going for the playoff, still with an outside chance of the top two, and Burton Albion fighting relegation came to the John Smiths and nicked it really late on. And I'm sorry to remind people of that, but isn't that just a prime example that you had a team banging form, Huddersfield Town aren't this, but a team in Burton Albion who at the time were punching above the weight in the Championship and go and nick a win away to the side that ends up winning the playoff final. So anything can happen, but it's going to be interesting because, you know, you never know from a Southampton point of view. They might be looking at Huddersfield Town and underestimating them. Now, I'm not saying they will because they're clearly such a professional outfit. Russell Martins, you can tell he's a really switched on guy, so I don't think they will. But you never know. I think it'll be interesting to see how the game starts. I think the longer Town go on without conceding a goal, you might be thinking, hold on a minute, there's a chance for a point, maybe even three. I think the worst thing for Huddersfield Town to do, and I hate to jinx it, but would be to concede in those opening 10 minutes or so. That could be disaster because then the floodgates open, you're chasing the game, you're giving them a lot more space. But as I've said a million times on this podcast to you, Brady, I'm ever the optimist. So let's just wait and see. It could be a coupon buster. And if it is, that is a coupon buster. And you know, the Wednesday game we've just had. But if Town do get something, would look at these 7 days as maybe a real turning point in the season.
Yeah, definitely. I like that. We need a bit of optimism. You know, particularly a positive season. Yeah, like you say, I suppose. Yeah, it's an interesting one. I think it's probably one of the hardest games on paper for Town for the rest of the season. But like I say, anything can happen in football, and that's why we love it. And if you are going to try and think of a positive for Town, I suppose John Worthington, I imagine, will be still in charge, temporary charge. And if you're from a Southampton perspective, might be quite hard to analyse what to expect because
you've
got one game to go on and it was a, you know, it's not the same type of game. So who knows? Who knows? That's why we love football. But Louis, let's talk about potential new managers for Town. So like we say, at the time of recording, they haven't announced the new manager yet. We expect John Worthington will take charge of this one. Just looking at the bookies before we jumped on here, Michael Duff is still a favourite. With John Eustace and Paul Heckingbottom behind. I did see on Sunday, Alan Nixon seems to suggest Paul Heckingbottom isn't interested. Also noticed John Worthington shot up to 8-1, despite saying he doesn't want it. We've talked about this with bookies before, though. If I went and wanted 20 quid on someone, they'd shoot up in the rankings. So it's a bit of an interesting one. But Louis, just keen to get your thoughts, really. Who do you think would be a good appointment from some of the names that we've seen?
Well, I think the three standout names, albeit we've seen reports that Paul Heckingbottom's not interested. If you look at the three, Heckingbottom, Eustace and Duff, I think any one of the three would be a good appointment, one that'll hopefully rejuvenate fans. And you look at them all individually, they've all got credentials and pedigree. You know, Michael Duff did brilliantly at Cheltenham, didn't he? Got the Barnsley job, left Barnsley and went to Swansea, and okay, that didn't work out. There's always the argument, was he given enough time? You know, but who is given enough time in modern day management? But it's interesting what Kevin Nagle and Jake Edwards and Mark Cartwright said when Darren Moore left the club. They're looking for someone for that short-term fix, i.e. keep Town in the Championship this season, but then to build on a long-term strategy. So Duff is one of those, I don't know, can we still call him an up-and-coming coach given he's been managing now for a few years? But the work he did at Cheltenham and Barnsley, you know, implementing a certain style, Swansea identified him from Barnsley because they liked his style and thought that would suit their play. So he could be someone who could implement a long-term strategy. Heckingbottom, brilliant at Barnsley. Obviously, had a spell at Leeds, which didn't quite go to plan, and then took over at Sheffield United and took them back up to the Premier League. So I think either one of Heckingbottom or Duff would be pleasing. Maybe Heckingbottom's got a little bit more experience, a little bit more nous. He's been in the Premier League recently. And then John Eustace. I think John Eustace is an interesting one. He got the Birmingham job, didn't he? And I remember thinking, oh, yeah, John Eustace, who played for Watford. That's how I remembered him, just one of Watford's players when they were in the Championship. And then he did a steady enough job. Obviously, they've had a few off-field problems, haven't they? And this season, they appeared to be, albeit I know they've got a bit of ownership over from the US and Tom Brady being involved in there. It almost felt they were one of the outsiders going for the playoffs. All of a sudden, you were looking at the league table and thought, well, Birmingham are doing well. But you made a good point, didn't you, Brady, before we came on air, that we wouldn't have known how that season would have panned out if Eustace had stayed, whether Birmingham would have stayed up there. But obviously, reading into it, the Birmingham fans were absolutely gutted that they'd let him go. So I think they all come with credentials, and I think all of them would be a cause for optimism. I wouldn't see any of those three. In my opinion, if Town appointed any one of the three, I wouldn't be scratching my head at any of them. I can see their credentials, definitely. But going back to Duff, you know, some might say, look at Swansea, he didn't deliver the goods. But yeah, so the interesting. And I suppose John Worthington's probably shot up in the odds because Town have won. And as you say, people have probably lumped a few quid on him. But any of those three, I think there'd be a pretty sound appointment, to be honest.
If I had to push you to name one, just so I can clip it up and you can look like you know everything on that, who would you, out of those three, who would you, if you had to choose?
It's really tough. And the reports, and I hope you keep this bit in, Brady, some reports have suggested it won't be Heckingbottom, but I think out of the three, I would probably go for Heckingbottom. Really good job at Barnsley, really good job at Sheffield United, and he's got experience managing at a higher level. I think he's just got a bit more of that experience of the Championship than the other two. Eustace did a great job at Birmingham, there's no doubt about that. Duff's first exposure to the Championship this season didn't go how he would have wanted. So if it was totally on me, if we ignored all the reports and it was out of those three, I'd go for Paul Heckingbottom. Mm.
No, that's interesting. Yeah, I'm kind of with you. Maybe I've been a bit harsh on Heckingbottom, but I just don't. I think the circumstances he's coming to, like Sheffield United, he did do a good job, but that was a very good side.
Yeah.
I look at them, and it's hard to say, but I do quite like Michael Dove when we did the live show at the end of last season. You know, chatting to Stephen and Dave from We Are Terriers. They were quite impressed with Duff. We had Alex Miller on, who's from the Sheffield Star. He was saying whenever he saw his Barnsley team, he was quite impressed by them, and he think it'd be a good appointment for Town. I think the things that looking at the names in the list, it's hard to say. I think John Eustace, although he's doing a good job with Birmingham, I suppose every manager is a bit of a risk, but maybe he's not got that body of work in the way the other two have, because he's still quite a young manager. I think what appeals to me about Duff is, this is something I heard constantly, and it's not particularly exciting, but they're off the ball work for Barnsley. Yeah. And I think that's something Town have shown they can be quite good at in the past with the current squad. You know, we saw it under Neil. We did see it a bit under Moore. You know, obviously we didn't see the goals under Darren Moore, but off the ball, we were quite good. And from all accounts, I know a few Barnsley fans, his football, you know, they weren't particularly complaining about his style. I think Swansea's a bit of an interesting one because you look at that, and obviously Steve Cooper kind of left in interesting circumstances. Same with Russell Martin. So
yeah,
and I do think they like to play a certain style of football. And I always thought, I think I've said it on here before, I always thought that was a bit of an odd fit. You know, we don't, when we talk about clubs and appointing managers, we don't often talk about the fit and whether it makes sense. And that always seemed a bit off for me. So I'd probably go for Duff. I think this is the kind of situation if you appoint a third manager of the season. Every name linked has probably got question marks around it or has a bad job you can point to.
Yeah, I think when you're at that stage and you are appointing, as you say, that third manager of the season for the second consecutive season in Huddersfield Town's case, you're not probably going to be in a position to go and poach a manager in work, or maybe some of the more sought after out of work names. I know some people were saying, wouldn't it be great to go and get Steve Cooper? But you can't really see Steve Cooper after having a Premier League job with Forest choosing to drop back down to Championship. He might do, but you would imagine it would be a club at the higher end of the table or maybe a club who end up getting relegated from the Premier League this season. You're right, there's always going to be question marks. You know, the candidates you're looking at, all three have been, though if we take those three, they've all been sacked this season. What would be interesting, whoever comes in would be a question to them. You know, this is the second season on the bounce. Town have appointed a third manager of the season. What makes you think you'll be given the time and the resources to build your own team, implement your own philosophy? It would be really interesting to hear from whoever the manager is. Why have you taken this job when ultimately you've had five predecessors in the last, what are we on now, we're on February 2024. So since August 2022, you've had five predecessors. So what makes you think you'll be different and you can get things right? So it's a tough one. I don't believe for a second any club will go into any season thinking we want to get through three managers, let alone do that twice, two seasons in a row. So it's going to be interesting, and I guess for Town they've just got to question marks over all three again if we're taking these three. But I think the position Town are in, and I think we've all got to, whoever the new man is, and I'm sure everyone will get behind them and look at positivity. What can they bring to the role? I think, you know, for Darren Moore, unfortunately, it didn't work out, but he was following Neil Warnock, and I think the nature of that decision was always going to work against whoever came into the job after Neil Warnock. So this time around, it's let's look at what positives they can bring to the side and hopefully start moving up.
Hmm. And you are an optimist, Louis. You say, say it in terms of a negative. I suppose for me, I don't know if you agree. I just think whoever Town appoint, even if they get relegated, I think they should stick with the person unless results are absolutely terrible.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think looking at the people who are mentioned, don't think you would get that really. And I think even if Town, unfortunately, were playing League One football next season, I think it's really important that we stick with that person, you know, for as long as we can. don't know what your thoughts are on that.
Well, I think I would agree with you totally. Look, whoever comes in, it's not their fault Town are in the position they're in. They're obviously going to be bought in. We read in the club statements, didn't we? They're going to be bought in for the long term, but for first the short term. And that aim is clearly to stay in the Championship. If it is a Duff, for example, I mean, I agree with you. I think any of those three who come in, they would get enough to keep Town in the division. If not, if results went their way, if, I don't know, QPR, Sheffield Wednesday, whoever picked up such a good run of form, it was just impossible to compete with. I mean, especially someone like a Michael Duff. I never agree with people who say it would be better for us to get relegated. I'm always in the camp, no, it wouldn't, stay up. But if they were to get relegated and you've got, i.e. a Michael Duff in place, he knows League One, he came, what, 30 seconds, within 30 seconds of being successful in League One with Sheffield Wednesday. By all accounts, Barnsley should have won that playoff final. Give them the tools required to get out of the division. I think regardless of whether Town go down or stay up, they can't keep changing managers. I think there needs to be a direction. And as we say, we've seen that in the club statement. And if that rings true, then they are appointing someone for the long term. I guess in a way, it's just getting safe and getting this season out the way, really.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, how many times have we heard that at Town fans? But yeah, I do think it's the case again. Let's like, yeah, I'd kind of be quite happy for the season to end now. Finished 21st. But we'll see. I suppose coming back to the Southampton game, it's probably a good time to hear from the fan phone in. So we spoke to the Saints FC podcast just to kind of check in for this one. Here's what they had to say.
Hello, this is Tom Bradshaw, and you're listening to the Fan Phone-In. Hello, caller. Tell us about your team.
Since we came up to Huddersfield, our results have been pretty amazing, to be honest, as everyone knows. I think it's 8 wins and 3 draws since we come up to your place. Outside of that, we've actually now won the last 8 games at home. So it's a big job on Huddersfield's hands on Saturday. In all league games, we've actually won 6 out of the last 7. The only one we haven't won was at Norwich when they lined up with a back 10 for 90% of the game against us. So that might be a tactic that you try and implement on Saturday. Our outstanding players at the moment, everyone talks about strikers when they kind of do these lists. And our main attacking players have been Ryan Fraser and Stuart Armstrong for the last few weeks. Both of them have been ridiculously creative and creating goals mainly for Adam Armstrong, who gets all the headlines. He's a strange player in that you can forget he's playing for 80 minutes and then he scores or gets an assist. So those are the main three to worry about. But quietly, Che Adams has gone on quite a decent run of scoring goals. So hopefully he can keep that going. He tends to only play well during transfer windows, but now he's in the last sort of couple of months of his contract. Hopefully he sees this as one big audition for a big move at the end of the season. In defence, which is what our success has been built on, you've got Taylor Harwood-Bellis and Jan Bednarek, who have been superb as the two centre-backs, both defensively and in bringing the ball out and starting a lot of the attacks. Somewhat underrated in the centre of midfield is Flynn Downes, who does the dirty work, basically getting about the park and breaking up any breaks that the opposition might have and knitting everything together. So he's probably our single most important player. Sadly, he's only on loan from West Ham, and I think it's going to cost a lot of money to buy him. And we certainly won't have him next year if we're still in the Championship. The run, I think, has been inspired by a continuity of selection. We had a little four-game run fairly close to the start of the season where things went a bit wrong and the selections were a bit random. But he certainly found his best team, his best formation, and is largely sticking to it, swapping players in and out only when sort of tiredness dictates that he needs to. There are very clearly defined roles for every position on the park. and it seems that everyone buys into it. There doesn't seem to be any dissent in the camp whatsoever. Last year when we got relegated, it was obvious that some players weren't happy with the way things were, and nor was anyone else, because it was an absolute catastrophe. But so the turnaround has been quite remarkable. The main thing I find about Russell Martin is that he does learn from mistakes. If you take the Huddersfield away game as an example, that was a game where we went ahead and then in almost complacent fashion tried to sort of coast through the game and ended up conceding a goal at the end. We seem to have learned from that now, in that when we get the first goal, we really do push on and try and put the game to bed. And in home games in particular, that's what we've been doing. We've had some big wins, usually when the other team caves in the last sort of 15, 20 minutes. So we're keeping the foot on the throat now, whereas earlier on in the season, there were times that we didn't do that. We definitely should be aiming for the top two, and we definitely are aiming for the top two. And we would virtually be there already if Leeds would just go away. We think Ipswich are going to go away, but Leeds are the worry at the moment because they're stringing together a run that's almost as good as ours. So it would be nice if they went away. It's a ridiculous standard at the top of the league this year, as you know. As a comparison, the last time we got promoted in 2011, I think we had 10 points less than what we've got now at a similar stage of the season. And, you know, even a week ago, we were fourth at one point. So it's quite mad at the top of the league. But yeah, keep things going the way we are, and we certainly should make the top two. Score prediction. Obviously, our run is going to come to an end at some point, be it the home run or the unbeaten run across all competitions. But to be perfectly honest, I don't really see it happening this weekend, despite the fact that Huddersfield obviously had a very good result last week against Sheffield Wednesday. You might have a new manager in charge, which might provide some sort of bounce, or it might not. Ultimately, I think Saints will be too strong for Huddersfield. So I'm going for a fairly comfortable 2-0 win.
Okay, thanks to the chaps for that. Now it's time for Kwana's question.
A few things change, but also a lot of things are still the same.
So, ahead of the preview show, we wanted to know which January signing do you think will have the biggest impact between now and the end of the season? So, as always, I'm going to read out your responses, listeners, and then I will ask Lyrie and I'll get my thoughts on it too. We'll start with Dawn. She says Matos, but actually, after watching Radina Bulka against Wednesday, he could be immense, very Van Dijk-esque with the ball at his feet, and also heard he was the fastest in his league last season. I think he'll love that comparison. John Malfew says, I really hope it's Bojan. We need some strikers getting goals for it to stay up. But given the curse that seems to have been cast on our forwards, I'm going to say Matos, the Championship Kante. And Marco Borgia says, even Matos, who seems clinically unable not to go into every challenge with the kind of impact that might split the atom, or Bulka, who occasionally had the look of someone playing in colour while the rest of the game is in black and white. So, yeah, quite a few names mentioned. Obviously, Alec Matos had a pretty good game, I thought, against Wednesday. But Louis, who, of all the signings Town have made, you can even be a bit cheeky and include ones at the summer. But who do you think will have the biggest impact?
I think Dawn's got a really good shout with Bulka, but what I would say on that is Helix having an unbelievable season. We all know how solid Matty Pearson can be. We've got to give credit to Tom Lees. I don't think the issue for Town has been the defence this season. It's as you've touched on it, it's scoring the goals. I think Alex Matos, I watched his debut at Man City, and you know, to be looking at a player who's just come in on loan from Chelsea, a young player, and at the end of the game, where Town have played arguably the best team in the world, where we've seen Kevin De Bruyne come on and do Kevin De Bruyne things and walk out and go, that Alex Matos looks really good. I think he will be key, just shoring up that midfield, having a presence in that midfield, breaking up play, not afraid to put challenges in. You're right, he was brilliant against Sheffield Wednesday. I wasn't at the game this weekend, but I've watched the extended highlights and he just seemed to be involved, which is what Town need. They need that presence. But I think that the biggest impact would be one of the forwards, either Healy or Radulovic. Now, it's typical Huddersfield Town that they come off at the weekend, and I'm sure when we hear from John Worthington before the Southampton game, we'll find out if they're all okay or whether they need a bit of time out. I think Radulovic could have the biggest impact. Again, at Man City, he came on for, what, the last 25, 30 minutes. He looked a bit of a handful against Man City, had a couple of shots, and similar in recent weeks. If he can, and same goes for Healy, actually, if they can maybe get 10 to 12 goals between them, between now and the end of the season, I think they could be the goals that really just fire Town over the line. I think we've talked a little bit too long this season about how they're just lacking that final. You know, it says a lot when a centre-half is the top scorer, doesn't it? You know, I go back to Blackburn and poor old Jack Redoni. Like, you've got to feel for him, but he should be scoring that. He should be scoring that. So if one, or if not both, of Healy and Radulovic get firing this season, I think they will have the biggest impact. Nothing on Matos. I think he'll be brilliant, and I think he'll have an impact on his own. Bulker, again, I think he looks a really solid signing. But we've had Helic all season, who's also looked solid. So Radulovic or Healy for me, 100%, if they can get the goals.
Yes. Yeah, no, I think, Matos has been good. Initially, I was, you know, I think I've been impressed with him. I suppose it was just, I didn't know if we necessarily needed that midfielder, particularly when you got like Hogg, who actually did an incredible pass. I wasn't so sure, but I think you can, yeah, definitely good. Bulker, I agree with you. I was thinking Healy, to be honest. I think Radulovic, like, he's obviously got to adjust from the Finnish league to the Championship. I watched the QPR game. He was getting banged about, really, I think, a bit is the nicest way to put it. You know, and it'll be a bit of an adjustment there. But they both look like they can finish the strikers. I think if I had to be, you know, if you metaphorically put a gun to my head and I had to say, I think Healy's probably, if you look at the things on paper, probably more likely to adjust, given he was at Watford.
He
on scoring the Origins Championship. And I do think in that QPR game, he had some nice moments. I think Begovic tipped quite a good header onto the bar. And I just, wasn't afraid to have a shot. I'm completely with you. You know, Town need goals. That's why Darren Moore lost his job, because we couldn't score goals under him, really. And I think the goal scorers are, you know, it's... we can analyse football as much as we want, as we do in the podcast, but goals win games. You know, I think they're the likely, and that's what Town needs. So I'd probably go Healy, if I'm being honest.
I think that's a good shout in terms of he's played in the Championship already this season, played at Watford. He's been at Cardiff in the past as well. So, you know, you just hope that Healy or as I say, Radulovic, just one of them gets a really good run of games, and they just, you know, they just kick on, really, and get some goals under the belt. I mean, Healy, the clearance on the goal line at the weekend, that could be a huge impact. If that goes in, who knows how that game finishes on Saturday, and we could be having a completely different, less optimistic conversation. So, yeah, definitely one of the forwards for me.
Yeah, and I don't care who it is.
and I think that's my point. Like, I want them both to do really well, you know, the Huddersfield Town players. So it would be great if we were sat here in May and they've both got 10 goals each between now and the end of the season. But even if it's just one of them who contributes to 10 goals and maybe the other notches 3 or 4, brilliant. You're spot on. It doesn't matter which one of the forwards starts scoring or goes on a scoring run, just as long as one of them does. And those goals end up proving the difference in games.
Absolutely. I think with that in mind then, because we can kind of talk about strikers a bit more, but we are approaching half-time on this podcast. So as always, we're sponsored by Magic Rock Brewing. If you want to get 10% off any online orders that you do, you can use our code AHTTC10 and you can get that 10% off. So use it. If you're watching on YouTube, you'll see it on the little ticker below as well. So we're going to come back and we'll talk a little bit more about the Southampton game and what Town players would keep in the end of the summer.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Cozzy, what's your favourite away day?
Matt, it's got to be the City Ground at Nottingham. Just old school stadium, you're right near the pitch, great atmosphere. But there's nothing like playing at home. Same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app.
At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Okay, so we talked about it, Louis. Obviously, we expect probably John Wormington's going to take charge for this one. We've talked about how it's a bit of a daunting task. I suppose, really, how would you think is the best way to set up for this one? Is it to be very defensive, or is it to kind of maybe catch them off guard? We did see under Moore, for example, we kind of took the game to its fridge at home.
Yeah.
And, you know, they put in a good performance. What would you think is the best way to tackle them?
Yeah, and I think now I play Football Manager a lot, and I'd never go very defensive against anyone. It goes against my own managerial philosophy if I was a manager. So I don't think... I mean, it does work. We've seen examples of it working in the past. But I think a team with Southampton's attacking threat going there and just trying to park the bus, for me, isn't the best option. I know some people listening to this podcast will be thinking, what on earth is he talking about? Of course it is. But I think the Ipswich game's a really good example, actually. And even the Leicester game at the start of the season under Neil Warnock, I think actually when Town have tried to take the game to those so-called better sides in the league, albeit they maybe haven't picked up the wins, but the performances have been there. You know, the Ipswich game, I remember thinking, if Town had won that, there wouldn't have been any complaints. Same with the Leicester game. You know, I really felt Town deserved at least a point at the start of the season against Leicester. So I think a little bit more, you know, trying to catch them on the break and just not being afraid. I think one of the big disappointments for me this season was when me and Oggy covered the Norwich game down at Carrow Road just before Christmas. And you were just waiting for Town to lay a glove the whole game. There was a chance in the first half. I want to say it was Sorba Thomas. I can't remember who. But other than that, in the first half, there was nothing. And then it took till, I think, the 92nd minute for Town to have their only shot on target. Now, Norwich on paper, probably a better squad, you know, man for man. But you've still got to be in the fight. You've still got to lay a glove on them. And I always think that's the better approach. Southampton will probably look at a Huddersfield Town or a QPR or a Sheffield Wednesday and think they're just going to try and park the bus and stop us playing our game. And I don't think that's the best way. I think Town should go. They've got the attacking talent, and it's funny how in the last segment we've just talked about how goals have been an issue. But with the likes of Caroma and Thomas, and if we've got Healy fit, they do have players that can get forward and can run at defences and cause people problem. You know, they are talented footballers at the end of the day. And without Alex Matos in the middle of the park, you've got that aggression and that, you know, just that raw winner's energy. So I always look at games as look, just go for it and try and catch them out, try and lay a glove on them. The flip side of that, and it's why John Worthington's in the dugout and not me, is if you start like that and you know you get caught early on, it could end up being a bad scoreline. But I think we've seen a lot of Town this season where they have tried to set up for those draws. And sometimes, you know, Southampton away, people will be thinking, Louis, a draw at Southampton away is a brilliant result, and it would be. But just go for it. There is, despite the league position and despite some of the feelings around the team this season, there's enough talent in that team to still be able to at least have a go.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I think it's hard, isn't it? Because you're kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't. But I'm with you. I'm also a Football Manager player. I never go very defensive. I just think, again, like we're talking about that performance, I think people may stomach a 3-0 defeat, for example, if you try to bloody their noses. And we have seen, you know, that Wednesday game, Town can counter-attack. I know Wednesday had a very dodgy 12 minutes. I think it's fair to say, and we took advantage of that, which we don't get to say often. But, the perfect situation for Town would be to kind of catch them first 15 minutes and go 1-0 up. And then, obviously, then you've probably got 75 minutes of batting down the hatches. But
yeah,
I think you talked about Sorba Thomas and Curran. I think it suits them to be playing on the break. I think that's Town's season in a nutshell, struggling to break down teams when there's a chance to break them down. So, and like you say, I know we're talking about that run and it is very daunting, but all runs have to come to an end. And if you're John Worthington, I suppose your message to the players is, look, lads, yes, they're an incredible team and they're going on a good run, but they might be overconfident. You might catch them off guard, and this is, give them a game. As long as you feel like when the 90 minutes is done, you've given a good account of yourselves. I think that's all the fans will ask for, really.
Well, and don't get me wrong, I know it's the FA Cup, but we saw Maidstone go and win at Ipswich the other week, and what did they have? Two shots the whole game. In the first goal, they tried that move a handful of times, didn't they, beforehand at 0-0. Long ball over the top, hitting Ipswich on the break, and they got the goal. And yes, Ipswich equalised. It was probably coming, but they, Maidstone needed one more chance, and they got it and they scored. Now, I'm not comparing a Championship game to a National League North side against a Championship side. I'm certainly not saying Huddersfield Town against Southampton is like a National League North side against a Championship side, but things like that can happen. It's been one of the obvious things all season for Huddersfield Town. I go back to that Jack Redoni chance against Blackburn a few weeks ago, of them just taking the chances when they get them. I mean, a completely different kettle of fish, but you look at the opening 15 minutes at the Etihad in the cup tie. Town hit City on the break two or three times because of City's high line. And 5 minutes in, albeit there was an offside flag, Sorba Thomas was through on goal. And in a way, I was kind of glad there was an offside flag, because for me, he should be putting that away. But they've shown that they can play that way and hit teams on the break. So I think you're spot on. The reverse of that is getting an early goal within that first 15, 20 minutes. And then you can be a bit more cautious and a little bit more defensive and frustrate Southampton. But by no means, I look at Huddersfield Town and think they should go and park the bus anywhere, to be honest. Because as I say, they do have that talent up top. And I think you're right with Sorba and Caroma. I think they are the kind of players you see when Town do break, when they counter-attack. They've got pace at the end of the day. And I guess it doesn't really matter how good a footballer you are. If you've got someone charging at you with lightning pace, then it's going to be a tough ask, isn't it? I don't know. It's really hard to say it is, because anything can happen. Town can go and get a win. It's certainly not out. And I know the bookies, Town are probably really high odds for this one, but it is hard. And I think it's because of that transition period. You're right. If it was 2-3-0, you kind of think, look, we're in this transition. We're waiting for a new manager. They're unbeaten in 21 league games. What more did we expect? But at the same time, having spoken to a lot of the Huddersfield Town squad over the last few years, and they won't be going there just to be Southampton's next win. They'll be going there to win it. And, as I say, who knows? It's going to be really interesting, though, to see how they set up. Really, really interesting.
Yeah, I suppose for John Worthington, it doesn't, it's not going to affect him. And, he's got the win in the must-win game. But I think we've seen, and this is kind of maybe what's playing in mind, but I think that Hull City game under Darren Moore, where we set up to get a point, is fair enough. Hull are in the playoff spots, absolutely. But, we conceded, as soon as you concede and you've played in a way where you're just kind of trying to stink the place out and, hope for a draw, as soon as you concede, it kind of goes out the window. And I think, again, it's difficult with Southampton, because I think they're a much better side than Hull, but you kind of game plan, as soon as they score, it's like, all right, So what do we do now when you do have to come out? And I just think sometimes, particularly with our fan base, you know, and it's absolutely fair enough, it is annoying. Like, you don't want to see that, you know, you would rather go for it. And if you lose 2-0, at least you've kind of tried to, yeah. So I think we keep talking back to it, and it's probably the buzzword for this episode, but performance is the key for here. I think, like you said, go in into it with a positive mindset. And that's not to say Town haven't done that in the past, you know, and it's needs must. And we talked about the squad and Darren Moore, you know, he did have a difficult squad and all the injuries and stuff. So, but yeah, that's kind of how I think we're both on the same wavelength here. Mm. Just try and, you know, give something positive so Town fans can point to something while we wait for a new man to come in.
Yeah. And as I say, I go back to the very start, Brady. I think, you know, a loss at Southampton, if that's to happen on Saturday, won't define the rest of the season, in my opinion, for Huddersfield Town. You know, there's bigger fish to fry than going there. And don't get me wrong, a win at St Mary's would be amazing, wouldn't it? But they are most likely going to be playing Premier League football next year. So it's not going to be one if you lose it. You know, if Rotherham lost to them at the weekend, didn't they? So you look at the teams around Sheffield Wednesday, Blackburn, QPR, you would suggest that they will also lose at Southampton. You know, Stoke, you can throw Stoke and Birmingham in there, can't you, as well? So that's why I think I'm just like, let's just see what happens and just go for it.
Absolutely. Me too. So with that in mind, then, Harry, what's your score prediction for this one?
Oh, God. I'm going to go for Southampton 1, Huddersfield Town 1.
Okay.
I kind of like your thinking, Brady. And again, people are probably listening to this thinking, what on earth is he talking about? I think I think, and I do really like your thinking. I think if Town do go there and try and play with a bit of freedom, catch them a little bit off guard, go 1-0 up, I think that would be absolutely amazing. I think the defence looks solid. So I would optimistically say they would grind out the 1-0 if they went 1-0 up. The realist in me, and this is where I'm not always 100% optimistic, is Southampton are so dangerous, aren't they? And being at home, they would probably find that equalising goal. But if they were to go down and get a 1-1, I think that would be amazing. So I'm not going to completely put myself out there to be hounded and say a Town win. But I think a point, 1-1. Let's say 1-1.
Yeah, I suppose I'm like you. Optimistically, I would say 1-1. I think Southampton are going to score regardless. But yeah, I could weirdly see that. Like, I could see a 1-1. That's what my heart is saying. I think my head is probably saying 2-3-0 loss. Yeah. You know, I just think they're in incredible form. It's hard. It's funny. We've joked about how draws under Darren Moore wasn't the most exciting, but you take that now in this game. But I just think there's no shame in losing to a team that's better for you. Provided you've given a good account of yourself. If I'm going to be honest, I'd probably say 2-0.
It is the issue for me, because I always go with my heart. And I probably always end up looking stupid. You know, whenever there's a World Cup or a Euros, England are going to win it. Like, I at the start of a major international tournament, I never have a doubt in my England are going to win this tournament. I'm saying the same about the Euros upcoming. So I just like to go with my heart. And I do think it's just one of those games. And I think one of the reasons we love the Championship so much is, and it's so cliche to say, it's so unpredictable. And there is so much being made of Southampton. They play tonight as well in an FA Cup replay. Let's not forget that. It'll be interesting to see what team he plays. There's just so much being made about Southampton, and rightly so. And you know, I guarantee if we listen to all the podcasts when they talk about, you know, accumulated tips and things like that, everyone will have home win on. And I just think if anyone in that bottom 4, 5, 6 could spoil a party at the moment, I think it would be Huddersfield Town, based on what we saw against Sheffield Wednesday.
There we go. That's the party spoilers. Yeah, I like it. Well, let's see what happens. But before we go, we've got some mailbag questions this week, so let's get stuck into them right now.
You've got mail.
I like this one. Guy Bradley, he asks, quick one for you, Louis, I'll answer as well. Guy says, the next match has to be managed by either Jan Sievert or Mark Fotheringham. Who are you choosing? what a lovely choice.
Do you know what? I'm going to say Mark Fotheringham. And wow. The only reason I'm saying Mark Fotheringham is because, excuse me, I met him on a number of occasions, obviously dealt with him for my job at BBC Radio Leeds. And I think I remember saying to you in the season preview and maybe at some point last season, Brady, from a human point of view, I got on with Mark really well. Obviously, it didn't work out at Huddersfield Town. Always the argument to say, should he have been put in that position in the first place? But ultimately, he didn't get the results. But on a personal level, I got on with him quite well. So purely on that, I'd probably go with Mark.
Yeah,
and I wish him the best. So there we are.
Yeah, I mean, he's scouting in South Korea for you.
Yeah, he's got himself a decent gig there, hasn't he?
Yeah.
About you?
Yeah, I might put this out as a Twitter poll as well, actually, see what people are saying.
Yeah.
I think the theme is here is both maybe, you look at what they've gone on to do. I know Fotheringham's more recent, but Sievert's kind of not gone back into management. I know he's in caretaker charge for one game for Mainz against Bayern. Mm. They went like 2-0 up and then ended up losing the game. It's strange with Sievert because obviously I was leaning maybe more towards Jan because I quite liked him. He seemed quite nice and I know he stayed in Huddersfield after he got sacked for a little bit. And I don't know, I just, yeah, it's strange. I do think, you know, hindsight never wins the war and all that, but I think maybe if he'd come in at the start after we got relegated, maybe it would have worked out better. I mean, you know, the rumours where he did fall out with some of the Danish players we had at the time. I don't know. I was leaning Sievert, to be honest. I just think Fotheringham, I probably should. I don't know. I remember what Matt Glennon said about him at the end of our live show, and the listeners want to go back to that. But he wasn't as complimentary as maybe you were, Louis. So
fair enough. I mean, I would only see him for half an hour on a Thursday every now and again. I had no insight into anything else. I'd just turn up, ask him a few questions, and have a bit of a chat with him after. So that's all that's based on. It is interesting with Sievert, just to very briefly go off on a tangent, and what you said, if he had come in that summer going into that championship season. And I know what you mean. I remember I'd maybe been working at Radio Leeds for about 6 months. I was first there when Town were in that relegation season. And I remember listening to his interviews and always thought he seemed like a nice fella. And you sometimes get the inclination with some football managers, don't they? They are saying the right things. It just, for some reason, doesn't seem to happen. So, fair enough. We can agree to disagree on that one, can't we?
Yeah, I am going to put that out as a poll because I think that's an interesting one. I don't know. Yeah, I think Sievert for me was probably more likable. I don't think Fotheringham was a bad person, but I just think some of his quotes. Although I do remember Jan Sievert saying about with like soup and seasoning, and it was like a clunky metaphor. But you know, I think and he told everyone happy Yorkshire Day. So
there we are.
That's enough for me. Okay, this one is a bit of an interesting one. It's from Liam Noble. So it says, Liam says, if we stop up again, given how we have a few out of contract and the squad needs some surgery too, who do you think we should let go and who would you keep? So what I'm going to do, Louis, is I'm going to run through every player. And I'm going to ask you, and I'll do the same after your response. I'll ask you to keep, sell, or release if they're out of contract, or loan. I'll give you an option because there's some youngsters in there. So are you ready for this? It's quite a long list.
I will. Remind me when you're going through the list which ones are out of contract.
I will do. There is, looking at my list, because yes, I do prep listeners. I've got 5, according to Transfermarkt, who are out of contract on the 30th of June. So could be wrong. Don't have a go at me. Have a go at Transfermarkt. Okay, first one. Lee Nichols.
Keep.
Yep, keep.
Solid number one, keep.
Yeah, Chris Maxwell.
I think when he stood in for Lee Nichols, he's merited being kept as a solid backup.
Yeah, I would agree, worth keeping. Jacob Chapman, out of contract, 30th of June 2024, what would you do?
It's a real tough one. I would lean on maybe the side of release, especially if you're keeping Nichols and Maxwell, or the other option, sign him up and send him out on loan.
Okay. If I'm going to push you?
Release.
Release? Ooh, yeah. Okay. Oh, I would sign him up and loan him out to a League 2 team or League 1 team. I think we all know the answer to this next one, Mikhail Helic.
Oh, keep.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we're probably going to get interest for him in the summer.
Yeah, and I guess if interest comes in, it all depends on the fee, doesn't it? You certainly don't want someone like that going for peanuts, because he's been fantastic this season. Not just brilliant at the back, but he's been a centre-forward at times as well, hasn't he, with his goal contribution?
Yeah, definitely. I would keep, and I hope he wants to stay, because he did a lovely message to our podcast as well. Next one, Matty Pearson, out of contract for June 2024.
Sign him up for another year. 100% leader, solid when he plays, gets his injuries, doesn't he, from time to time. But I think he's someone that'll be vital in that dressing room. Keep.
Yeah, I'd sign him up and keep him too. I think, nice guy. I think, like you say, you saw his goal threat at the weekend. And I think it's nice to have local lads in the squad as well. So I'm with you. Yuta, who I believe is out of contract, Yuta Nakayama.
It's a real tough one, because based on ability alone, you would really keep him. But again, injuries have been an issue, haven't they? So it depends on salaries and things like that. I would keep Yuta, but maybe on a shorter term deal, another year.
I think it's one of them. It all depends on how he plays for the next few months. I'm leaning towards a keep, but I'm looking at my list. I've kept most of them, which is surprising, because I definitely haven't done that in the past. I would lean towards keep, I think there's a potential. Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of. I think his career's like that. He's looked good in some games. Obviously, had the injury and he was out for a while. So, I'd say keep, but potentially release, we'll see. Radino Bolka, I think obviously keep. We're really just
keep,
signed.
Yeah.
Tom Lees.
Lees, for me, I don't think he would play every week next season, but I think, like Matty Pearson, he's vital to have around. He would be a very reliable backup, local-ish guy, and he just gets it, doesn't he? And I think especially... We're at the stage now, Brady, we're talking about Town being in transition again. And regardless of a manager coming in now, there will be a summer of transition. And I think having those players like your Pearsons, like your Lees, will be really helpful towards that transition. I know I'm sounding a bit like Neil Warnock here. And let's be honest, he was part of that team that got to the playoff final a couple of years ago. So I would keep him for another year, definitely. Getting on now, isn't he, Tom Lees? It feels like he's been around forever, but certainly I think his experience again would be invaluable.
Yeah, I'd keep him. I think, like you say, depends on what the new manager, who it is, what they want to play. I think if you were playing a Black 4, I'd be tempted to do Helic and Bolka, because I think you've got a bit of a contrast there, but I think Lees is worth keeping. He's very solid and spectacular, and I think, you know, weirdly, I know they're down the end, but I think he's been quietly good this season. He never seems to take a ball of it. So, yeah, I'd keep as well. We were talking about Yuta and left-backs. Jaheim Headley, out of contract. 30th of June.
I'd keep Headley. I saw him, I think I've mentioned this before, I saw him play for Harrogate when I was covering Bradford City for Radio Leeds, and I thought he was brilliant. And I think at times when he has come into the team, he's looked really good. Again, would he be first choice next season? Maybe not. But he's a young player that Town can continue to develop. And if they keep him, they can develop him. He might then not be first choice bit of money in the bank if they can get a fee for him. So I'd keep Jaheim.
Mm. Yeah, same. I think keep him extend. Josh Ruffles, obviously signed the deal till 2025, so he's not going to be out of contract. But what are your thoughts?
Yeah. He's injured again now, isn't he? Unfortunately, till the end of the season, is Josh. So it's really, I'm just getting it up now, yeah. Successful hernia operation, but his recovery from that and a groin issue will take longer than expected. That's what the club said. He's due to return for the 24-25 season. Ruffles is one of them for me. Again, when I've seen him, I just think he's been steady, 7 out of 10. He doesn't tend to put a foot wrong, so I'd keep him until he's the following season, definitely. I wouldn't probably look to sell him. And I think the thing is, now that he's injured until the end of the season, how realistic would it be a party coming forward and putting a bid in? So keep for me.
Yeah. I think just maybe see how it goes, you know.
Yeah.
Just like, I agree with you. I think he struggled not being Harry Toffoler, but I think he was then quite solid under Warnock as well, and he's kind of come on since then. So hence why he got that new deal. So, yeah, I think he's key. This is an interesting one, though. Ben Jackson, out of contract. We've got a lot of left-backs here. Left-sided defenders.
It is really tough, isn't it? And again, Ben's another one who is, when he's stepped up, I haven't had anything bad to say about him. I think he does the job really well. I'd probably keep him again. Are we becoming a bit repetitive, saying we'll just retain this whole squad?
Well, this is the thing. Last season, I was like, there were so many I'd release, and we did. Whereas I think it's more adding to for me.
I always think with youngsters, and again, this is going back into my football manager mindset, if you've got a young player, they're not really going to cost the club a lot in terms of wages, are they? It's a player who you know does a good job when they come in. Fans love seeing younger players break into the side. And look, if it doesn't work out over the following season or the season after that, they're still in a contract that you can probably sell for a fair enough fee. So I'd keep Ben. Again, I always look, if you're going to release a player, and maybe I was a bit harsh on Chapman, but maybe that's down to opportunities because of his position. But if you're going to release a player, I think more they've either had a complete stinker in a town shirt or they're getting really old. So I'd keep Ben, definitely. There's just so much competition for left back.
Yeah, I suppose that's it really, isn't it? I'd keep him. He's quite versatile, more so than like Headley, I'd say. So it's worth keeping for that. But yeah, I suppose it's hard to say with a new manager. We'll probably come back to this on the podcast towards the end of the season. Just to see if we change. Speaking of people who've had a stinker in a town shirt, Tom Edwards, out of his loan spell ends in June. I think we both would say return.
Yeah, I think, you know, it hasn't worked out, unfortunately, for Tom. I don't think he'll ever, in town colours, recover from the game at Leeds. And it's maybe best shake hands, wish him well, and move on from that one. Sometimes it just doesn't work out, does it?
Yeah. I completely agree. Ollie Turton, injured again. We're still on defend, is it? Yeah, I think because he's still in contract. Like you say, who's going to come in for him? So I think you probably have to keep.
Yeah, I think so. And I think it's been a real shame with Ollie's injuries because, again, he's another one of those players that is just does the job well, steady, might not set the league alight, but he just comes in and does his job really well. Quite understated. He'll never be, you know, the hero of the team, will he? But, he was one of them when he initially got injured. For me personally, I noticed when he wasn't in the team for the first few weeks. So I'd keep Ollie and just hope that he gets back up to full fitness.
Yeah, okay. I agree. Brody Spencer, out of contract 2025. I'd keep and offer him a new deal.
Absolutely offer him a new deal. I mean, again, we talked about Matos, his debut being at City, but Spencer coming back and thrown straight into that team at the Etihad, I thought it was absolutely brilliant. And another one of a younger age at Town, tie them down. You know, these are potential assets going forward.
Yeah, agree. Jonathan Hogg, out of contract, according to Transfermarkt. What would you do?
It is... That is the hardest question I think you've ever put to me, Brady. Because, you know, going forward, is he going to be able to play as many games as possible? But I think his contribution to Huddersfield Town, you give him another year, don't you? And whether that's in a, like we've touched on with Lees and Pearce, and just that voice in the dressing room, or, you know, I mean, he'll still want to play, of course he will. But I think when it comes to players like Jonathan Hogg at whatever club you're at, you know, you've got to extend them, haven't you?
Yeah, I think I would keep him. I'd extend it for a year, but, and I think this is my criticism of Town, it can't be as crucial as he is, and that's no disrespect to him, but I think that's,
yeah,
you know, I wouldn't mind it if he's more like a Dean White, Mark Hudson role, where he's, you know, he can't start every game anyway.
Yeah.
But I would be more than happy if he was kind of like, can play the odd game, you know, Southampton away, I'd want Hoggy, just because,
yeah,
he's going to drift in. But I don't think you need him for every game. And I think Town probably need to move on and progress. And Hoggy has a good option, but not the first choice, is probably. So, yeah, keep an extend for me. Jack Redoni, keep. I'm assuming you're the same.
Keep, yeah.
Yeah. Ben Wiles, keep as well. I think he played an excellent pass on Saturday, actually.
I was going to say, actually, because he hasn't had the best start to his Town career, has he? I think some people were a bit disappointed with his earlier performances. Looked really good, actually, against West Brom in his debut back in September. But, yeah, I'd keep him. He just looked a lot freer, didn't he, on Saturday? And like you said, that pass was great. And look, it's been such a disappointing season at times. It's maybe harsh to single out players. I think we'll have a better picture of a Wiles type player this time next year when there's a new manager in place. Hopefully results are completely different as they have been this year, and Town are sitting in a much better position. But yeah, I wouldn't write him off yet.
No, completely agree. David Kasumu, I'd keep as well.
Keep, yeah. No qualms.
Brahima Diarra, contract, I'd release.
Yeah, I think with Brahima, and, you know, again, a younger player, but it just feels like it's not really going to happen for him. He's one of them. I think if you'd mentioned his name, if you hadn't have mentioned his name, and we'd gone through this whole list, I'd don't think I would have gone, oh, what about so-and-so? So, yeah, maybe time to part ways.
Yeah, I mean, the rumours where he doesn't really want to sign a new deal as well. So
yeah, I think that's a big thing as well. You know what we're all like as football fans, and we'll do it in our jobs at the end of the day. If you don't want to be here, that's fine. Best of luck to you.
Yeah, exactly. Alex Matos, probably likely to return to Chelsea. I've included him in this list, but I would keep him for another season.
I think if there was an option based on what we've seen, you'd be saying to Chelsea, can we take him on loan again? They did that with Tino Andrin, didn't they? A couple of years ago, albeit it didn't work out with Tino. So if Chelsea were up for it, then I'd be doing, based on what we've seen over the last, what, 5-6 weeks, I'd be doing all we can to extend that loan.
I agree. Delano Bergsorg, on loan till the end of the season, but Town have an option to buy.
I think he's shown he could be a really useful player. Radulovic, Healy are there now. I would take a punt on Bergsorg. I think the first half of the season, Helic aside, he was one of Town's shining lights in what was a really difficult first half of the season. And I think the fans like him. I think the fans like him, so I'd keep.
Yeah, I'd make it permanent. I just think Town, in some ways, different players, but it reminds me a bit of Sinani. I think he's got a bit more flair, but Delano scored a few crucial goals for us. Like, obviously, he got the winner against Sunderland. And I just think, I know he's a bit chaos at times, but I think now that we've got Healy and Radulovic, he's not going to be the sole source for goals. And I wonder if that'd actually make him a bit better. So, yeah, I'd take a punt on him. Yeah. Like I say, he's well liked. And
scored the first goal at West Brom as well, didn't he, early in the season? It's funny what you say about Sinani as well, because that Corberan season, getting to the playoffs, Sinani obviously played a really good role in that. But it was more, I think, after Sinani left the club, you realise just how important he was to that Huddersfield Town team the season before. And I think if Bergsorg wasn't to stay at the club, I think we could be scratching our heads thinking, oh, do you know who we could have done with today? Delano Bergsorg. He's kind of that kind of player. So I'd definitely make it permanent.
Yeah, no, I agree. Definitely keep. And he's quick, you know. So we, you know, I've never seen a player get so giddy after scoring like he did against Ipswich. And he was like standing on the ball after that. So I'd keep him just for that. Josh Caroma and Silver Thomas, I'll put these two together. I assume you're going to keep both. Oh,
yes.
Maybe not.
I would. But I do want to see a bit more from both of them in terms of consistency. Maybe more so a little bit with Thomas, because I think on the day they're both fantastic. But I would just like to see that more on a consistent basis. If you could get Sorba Thomas and Josh Caroma like they were on Saturday, then, you know, for 40 out of 46 games, then you're laughing, aren't you? I would keep them. They're still good age. But just a little bit more consistency, I think would be nice for both of them.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I'd keep both. I think if there's more attacking players, there's probably less pressure on them.
Yeah.
So I'd keep them both. Healy and Radulovic, again.
No-brainer, yeah.
Keane Harrop.
Is he still in contract? He is, isn't he? So...
He is, from the looks of things.
I would keep Kean. Warnock loved him and got a tune out of him, but I think he'd have to go out on loan, you know, to a League One side, possibly, and really get a number of games under his belt. I know he had a decent spell at Port Vale. Obviously, he went to Bradford. That didn't work out. But I think what's key for Kean now, you know, we're talking about Huddersfield Town and we're saying something we couldn't say 4 weeks ago, but they are... You know, they're not short of attacking options at the moment. So that ultimately means Kean's pushed down the pecking order. So I'd keep, but get him on a season-long loan somewhere in League One and you know, to a club that are going to play him week in, week out, get a load of games under his belt and hopefully some goals.
Yeah, I'm completely with you. Yeah, keep him, loan him out. I think he could benefit, especially his age, benefit from, you know, playing every week at the moment, which he will at Town even when he comes back and is fit. So
yeah,
I'm with you. Danny Ward, very injury prone this season, so we've not really seen him. What would you do?
Again, it's hard because he is under contract, but I would maybe, if we could get a fee, I think it's maybe... Look, Neil Warnock got the best out of Danny Ward and he played a great role in Carlos's, in the season Carlos got the team to Wembley, but I think he's getting on. If you look at the attacking options we've touched on, and he hasn't really been seen a lot this season, it's going to be a big ask for him to get back in that 11 or even in that match day squad. So if Town can get a fee for him or even send him out on loan, you know, where they have a deal where another club pays the wages, I'd be looking to move him on, unfortunately. But he's been brilliant for Town and there's no taking away from that. But I really struggle to see where he gets back into that attacking line.
I like Danny Ward. I think he gets a hard ride sometimes. I don't see him being a starter. So I don't know what his wages are. But I think he would, you know, if he's fit, I think that's the question, if he's fit. But he's a great another 20-minute off-the-bench option. And,
yeah,
you know, he has proved to be quite effective as an off-the-bench option. We saw that with Cardiff under Neil. So I like Danny Ward. I would keep him. However, he's very injury prone, and it depends on the new manager. And obviously, if the new manager doesn't like him, then I would try and cash him, or you know, let him, because he's towards the end of his career.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? It's seeing what the new manager wants, and you know, ultimately, he's been brilliant for Town. But if the new manager maybe doesn't see him as a regular starter, or even getting in that match day squad, then if Town have the opportunity to cash in on him, then maybe that would be the right thing to do.
Yeah. Okay. Last two. Kieran Phillips, I'd sell. I just think he's unfortunate with injuries. and he's not out of contract until I think it's next year, not 2024, 2025. I just don't see him breaking into the Town team. So I think I'd just let him go and go somewhere where he's going to play regularly.
Yeah, I agree. I think if he was to break in, it would have happened by now. You look at, we mentioned Headley and Jackson, who really have, when they've appeared for Town, shown what they're about. But they've been given that opportunity, and I think Kieran's found, was it Morecambe he had a loan spell at? And by all accounts, did well at Morecambe. They liked him there. So if there was a League One side or maybe even a top-end League Two side who were willing to pay a fee, I think it's, yeah.
Yeah, sorry, Kieran, because, you know, he's a bit of a local lad, but, yeah, I just think I just can't see it. Carl Hudlin isn't in this list, but I think, again, I'd do what we did with Keane Harrow. I'd keep him loaning out, I think. Yeah.
He's just gone to Burton, hasn't he? So it'll be, you know, if he does well for Burton, absolutely keep him and try and get him another loan spell like that. And, you know, at the end of the day, these kind of players, and we've seen Hudlin be used as well. That's the thing. And he's actually, you know, he's looked effective when he has been used. I think sometimes, obviously, his height does go against him. Like, people just write him off. But he's looked effective. He got a goal in the League Cup, didn't he, earlier this season. So if he has a good end to the season with Burton, I don't see the harm in keeping him and then sending him back out on loan.
No, I agree. Final one then, Pat Jones.
Pat Jones is a tough one. And I knew you were going to come to Pat Jones because... Was it Norwich away last season? He scored a brilliant goal. And yeah. I think we're always... waiting for it to really happen with Pat Jones, and we've seen those glimpses, and we've seen why we're all so optimistic. I think I would love to keep him because I think we all get a bit excited when he's in and around the team. But again, like Kean, I think he needs a proper loan spell where he's playing games week in, week out.
He's out of contract in 2025. I feel unfortunate because he's a young lad, but he seems quite injury prone. Seems to pick up a couple of knocks, and I think I would be tempted to loan him out if possible, just because I can't really see him getting three games in a row for Town, like starting. So I would be tempted to loan him out, and I think again another one who needs games. So I would keep, but I think, you know, and this is you know, I don't want to be harsh to Pat Jones because he's a young lad with potential, but. You know, I think if his Town career carries on the way it does, I don't think anyone would be too bothered this time next season, 2025, if he did get released. So, I'd keep him and loan him out. And, you know, I'd be picked on. There we go. Yeah. Well, that's the full list. Well, I think we'll leave it there. No, a little bit longer, but, you know, I enjoy that. I love doing this.
Yeah, always a pleasure.
Yeah, so Lou, thanks so much for coming on. Thanks to all the listeners for tuning in and sticking with us, especially if you did till the end there. And thanks to Magic Rock, who sponsored this episode. As always, Tom and I will be back for the next one. So we'll leave it there. Ta-ta for now, and up the Town.
Up the Town. It's a Town player. Bring the car back to Huddersfield.
Lads, what's your favourite 90th minute goal?
Got to be Heffley against Leeds. A shot from Moy and sliding in at the death, Michael Heffley. Great finish to the game. Shared with my family, only made better by ordering McDonald's via McDelivery afterwards. 3 points, McNugget share box, spot on. Order McDelivery now via the McDonald's app. You in.
At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.